Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12 this morning. We're going to read two verses from Romans chapter 12 this morning. That's verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 this morning. As you're finding your place, please stand to your feet in honor of God's word as we read the word of God together. I will read aloud as you read silently. That's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and beginning at verse 1 of chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the day you've given us so far in Sunday school and the beginning of the service this morning. Thank you for all that. But Father, now really what matters is what we're going to do for the next 30 minutes. And that is hear your word preached. As Pastor prayed earlier, that your blessing would come and meet the needs of those in this building. The only way that's going to happen is, Holy Spirit, if you come and fill our pastor with thy Holy Spirit and help us to be ready listeners that have willing hearts. Now, please work on our lives and our pastor as you bring your word to us. Father, if there's one in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room they would settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me give you the warning. Very serious now. If your cell phone goes off during the service and it is heard, now we have folks on call today, so we understand that you need to keep your cell phone on for the purpose of calls for medical folks and different things like that. In case your mother-in-law shows up, you sure want to rush home and meet her. Things like that. But if it goes off in the service and we hear it before the end of this month, the fleas of 1,000 camels are going to infest you. That's terrible when you think about it. It's horrible, scary, it's frightening. It sounds like the tribulation period. Yes, so be careful now. Make sure it's turned off. Sit very still and listen carefully, please, would you? The book of Romans in the Bible, that book of Romans is the most exact and perfect treatise you can find about the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone for your salvation. The first 11 chapters of this book detail it and explain it specifically and perfectly. Anyone who believes works for salvation, if they'll go to Romans and read the first 11 chapters and ask God to show them what the Bible teaches, they'll come away understanding you're only saved by faith in Christ alone. Because he did the work. And in that, it's a tremendous book. But in Romans 12 and verse 1, and then for the rest of those that book, the rest of the 16 chapters, there, four, five chapters, he begins to talk to you about how you live the Christian life and how the Christian life will work, what we're supposed to do, relationship to governments and relationship to brethren and all sorts of things. But ladies and gentlemen, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And if you've been in church very long, you could probably quote the verses of Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Stop right there for a moment. You see the principle that makes the entire Christian life work is the very simple principle of this. Yield everything to God, friend. Yield everything to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Listen, it's the analogy of when someone would come to the temple and they would bring an animal or an offering of some kind and they would offer that at the temple to God. And they presented their sacrifice to God. Only this sacrifice is you. And he's saying, I beseech you, therefore, beg you, I plead with you, my brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Ladies and gentlemen, 2011 is going to be a great year in your Christian life if you keep your all on the altar of sacrifice late. It's very simple. What I love about the Christian life is it's very simple to understand what the principles are to live the Christian life, because they're simple principles. And the foundational principle of how the Christian life works is this. You stay yielded to God, friend. Yield yourself to God. Now listen carefully. But why? Well, because he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. First of all, it's God who's begging you to do it. I beseech you. That's not Paul. That's God. Paul no more wrote that with his own mind than you and I sit down at a computer and type out something through a word processor. That's not the machine. That's our thoughts. That's our ideas. God told the Apostle Paul what to write, and he wrote that down. That means it's God begging you. I beg you. I beseech you. God is begging us to yield everything to him. You know why you should yield to God? Because you're brethren. You're a child of God. Now, yieldedness to God will not get you salvation. You can yield to God all day long and you will not go to heaven. Salvation is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So the principle of yieldedness to God is for the child of God. That's why he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're a child of God today, you have salvation, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you ought to yield to God because you're his child. You belong to him. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. But also because he gave you eternal life and a home in heaven. He saved your never-dying eternal soul and guaranteed you a place with him in eternity. My friend, you're a brother of God. You're a child of God. You ought to be willing to yield. Why? Because of his mercies. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Another picture of our salvation. I guarantee you this morning, the average person in this room that is saved got saved after they heard the gospel more than once. You got more than one chance to be saved, and after second, third, fourth, or whenever, however many times it was to trust Christ, God gave you mercy and you trusted Christ. That's mercy, friend. He could have cut you off, given you one chance. That was it. You don't trust Christ, you're lost. He could have done that, but no, the mercies of God extended that door of grace, my friend, and you got another chance at that. Now he who is begging you, he who has given you his own name, he who has claimed you as his child, wants to remind you that by his mercies, he's wanting you to yield yourself fully and completely to him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. What am I to yield to God? It says your body in verse number one. You notice it doesn't say your soul. It doesn't say your spirit. It doesn't say your Sunday mornings. It doesn't say occasionally. It doesn't say part of you. It says your body, because the body is the house of the soul, and the soul is the house of the spirit. And if you yield your body to God, he's asking for everything you paid for. It's a full yieldedness. I'm sorry that average Christianity today presented from the average pulpit today lets you know or gives you the idea that you can have a partial Christianity and enjoy everything that Christianity provides for you. Not so. God said he wants it all, friend. He wants all of it. So I'm not gonna couch any terms this morning. I'm not going to hide anything from you today. I'm not going to say, well, you just kind of give it your best shot and it'll all turn out all right. I'm saying to you this morning, the God of heaven who gave you full free salvation wants everything he paid for. He wants it all. He wants the body. He wants the soul. He wants the mind. He wants the heart. He wants the will. He wants everything. He saved you from the sole of your feet to the top of your head, gave you eternal life and a home in heaven, and he wants it all. That's what I'm supposed to yield to God. Everything. How am I supposed to yield to God? Present yourselves a living sacrifice. See those animals brought to the temple and offered? Their throat would be slashed, body burned on the altar, given one time. A meal or a money offering brought to the temple could be given and was never given back to the one who... It was a given thing. One time, gone. But a living sacrifice, which is you and me, could be given over and over and over and over again. So this is not a one-time event in life now. This is something where a yieldedness to God of everything he paid for, all of me, everything about me, is to be given regularly. But wait a minute. What happens when you give this yieldedness to God, when you yield yourself to God? Look at verse number 2. Romans 12, verse 1 tells us about being yielded to God. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Wait a minute. Do you know what happens when you yield all to God? He changes you. The word transform here is the word metamorphosis. How that the caterpillar attaches itself under an eave or an overhang and forms the chrysalis around the caterpillar. And inside of that chrysalis goes on the amazing work of trillions of years of evolution. No, inside that chrysalis goes on the work of Almighty God's creation. And that hairy, nasty-looking caterpillar is turned into a beautiful butterfly or moth that eats your clothes, one or the other. And so there he is inside the chrysalis. Wait, and when the transformation, the metamorphosis takes place, it means change from the inside out. And when the chrysalis falls away, what comes out? A big, hairy caterpillar with beautiful wings. No, a completely transformed creature. That doesn't even look like a caterpillar. That's the amazing change that God brought from a caterpillar to a butterfly. That's the word transform. You know how you find that kind of change? Yield everything to God. Listen to me. Yield everything to God. See, we think, I trust Christ, I get saved, God changes me completely. No, God gives you the opportunity for complete change. Complete change is found on the altar, my friend. When you yield everything to God, He transforms you. Now look at me. See, here's what's happening today. Many Christians today are experiencing partial transformation. Certain parts of their life are changing. They're flying hairy caterpillars. They're half butterfly, half caterpillar. Because there's still a lot of the old life, but there's still some new life stuff there. That's not how it works. Look at me. You can't survive with impartial transformation. You'll be a freak of nature. And guess what? You'll be a freak of Christianity too. That's what we're seeing a lot of today. Christian freaks. People who look just like the old life. They look like hairy caterpillars with butterfly wings on them. What is that all about? I'll tell you what it is. It's called not complete yieldedness. And you can't give partial and expect full transformation. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice. Why? So you can be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Oh, He'll change your thinking, friend. He'll change your attitude. He'll change your heart. He'll change your mind. He'll change the way you look at things. He'll change what you are on the inside, and it will show up on the outside. And a changed person in here is a changed person out here. And a changed person in here is a changed person at home and at work and at school and at play and at everything else in their life. You yield it all, you get a full overhaul. Extreme makeover of the perfect kind. What else do you get out of it? That ye may prove, verse number 2 says, that ye may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The word prove there means to test something by smelling it. When I was overseas and up in the Arctic, we longed for things from home. I remember one time my wife-to-be sent me some fudge. She didn't know she was my wife-to-be at the time. I knew it. She just hadn't come around yet. She sent me some fudge in a coffee can. Well, after the military gets a hold of it, and about 6 weeks later, it showed up there in the Arctic. It was no longer a fudge. It now looked like a chocolate Buddha. It was all slumped together in a big wad. And it was 6 weeks old. 6 week old fudge. I used it to hold the window open in my room in the barracks. And every now and then I'd just shave a chunk off and eat it. I mean, that's your single guy. You don't understand that concept. One of our friends, his mom sent him a pizza. Cooked. You know what a 6 week old pizza looks like? Huh? You know what it looks like? Joan Rivers before her facelift. But you know what it looks like? 6 week old pizza. And we opened that box and there was stuff in there. And we just picked around the stuff and ate it anyway. Don't do that. The next day it's really not pleasant. But the truth is, you know what happens? You open the lid and you go, wow. I don't think that's any good. Either that or it's really old cheese or really new meat. I'm not sure which one that is. You see, you yield your all to God, you, for yourself, will come to know that the will of God is good. Oh, yes. That the will of God is acceptable. You'll come to accepting the will of God. And not resignation to it, friends. You'll come to love that thing. It's so acceptable to you. And you'll find that the will of God is perfect. It is exact. It has everything in it. But that's after the altar. That's after you put all on the altar, changed, and come to know exactly what God has for you. And you'll know for yourself. Sometimes my wife will say, honey, is this any good? And I always wonder about that. She hands it. She wants me to taste it. Now, I'm 57-year-old, been married 35 years, so I have married taste buds now, but there's still some single guy taste buds back there that says, you heat it up enough and throw enough chili on it, I can eat it. It's not a problem. You come to find out certain things. You will come to know exactly why you're on this planet, my friend. But that's, listen now, that's after you put it all in the feet of God. So for some of us this morning, we need to yield to God anew. Some of us this morning, you have trusted Christ as your Savior. You know that you're going to heaven when you die, but you have never given Him everything of your life. You've never fully yielded all to God. You look at me. You fear the loss of a life that you weren't even concerned about when you feared the loss of your soul. When you trusted Christ, you weren't concerned about what your life was or anything else. You knew you were lost, going to hell. You trusted Christ, and you didn't give a flip about your life then. Now you trust Christ, you have eternal life, and all of a sudden we're hanging on to this life. We're so scared to death that somehow or another, this thing is just going to totally mess up my living. So the God of heaven, ladies and gentlemen, the almighty creator of this universe, whose perfect design and desire for His children is that they would have the very best that He could provide for them. Yes, mountaintops. Yes, valleys. Yes, trials and troubles. But blessings and goodness and all of it that mixes it together that makes life what it is. We fear that we yield ourselves completely to God. Well, that's going to mess up my living. You're right. Because when it's not your life, He'll take it and shape it and mold it and make it into what He wants it to be. But God told the prophet to go down to the potter's house and watch the potter, and he wrought a work on the wheels, the Bible said, and that potter fashioned that clay into a vessel. And God said, can I do that? Can I do that with my own children? Can I put the pressure on them at times? Can I not shape them and mold them? Can I not find the impurities and take them out? Can I not make them a vessel? And the Bible says it was marred in the hands of the potter, not by his hands, but in his hands. There was a part of that clay that wouldn't yield. And so he made it into another vessel, still functional, but he still knew what was best. God does that, friend. You've never really honestly put it all on God's lap before. You've never honestly yielded everything to God. Well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, as far as I know, as best as I know. But have you asked Him? I can't get past the I beseech you part of this passage. The God of heaven is begging me to give Him everything He paid for. It seems so dishonest of me to even hesitate. But He's the one who knows if He has it all or not. Some of us today, we need to yield to God anew. You have never honestly, truly, without reservation or hesitation, without holding anything back, ever yielded yourself fully and completely to God. You need to do that this morning. Because everything in the Christian life will work or not work based on your yieldedness to God. Some need to yield anew this morning, brand new, fresh, never having honestly held anything back from God whatsoever. For some of us, that's not the case, but we need to yield to God again. You see, that one time you were pretty yielded to the Lord. Matter of fact, there may have been times in your life where as best as you know how, you yielded everything to God. But something's happened. Somebody's disappointed you. Maybe you feel like God's failed you in some area of your life. You took back what you yielded to God. You need to yield to God again. Maybe it's because you've yielded to someone or something else. Amazing how this life and its attractions attract our affections. That's why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Simply put, you got sidetracked, friend. And that yieldedness to God got became yieldedness to somebody else or something else in life. You yielded in some area of a relationship just because you had to have that relationship. And you yielded in that area of relationship, and that yieldedness has caused you to take everything away from God and give it to that person. Maybe it's a yieldedness in some goal or ambition that you have in life. And I've got to climb the ladder and attain these things in my life. First of all, thank you for the initiative. Sick and tired of people with no initiative in life. Don't want to do anything. So you're one of those overachievers, aren't you, Pastor Johnson? Yeah, you know where overachiever came from? Comes from a bunch of underachievers. That's where it comes from. They're the ones who invented it. But wait a minute. Hold a second. So you mean to tell me to better yourself in life, you have to take from God what's rightfully His and give it to some other, some institution or some people? See, you need to yield to God again, don't you? You need to come back to Him and say, dear God, I have yielded to the wrong thing. Some of you need to come this morning, and this is going to sound really funny, and I want you to stay with this statement. It's going to sound odd. Some of you need to come this morning, and you need to forgive God. Now, I believe this with all of my soul. God does not make mistakes. God doesn't need our forgiveness to say, well, I guess God did that and I don't accept it, but I forgive God. That's what I'm talking about. Some of you this morning, you need to come and wake up about this thing, about whatever it is you feel like God didn't do right by you or for you or take from you or do in your life. You need to come and in your mind, you need to get that thing straightened out. Realize He's too loving to be unkind, too wise to make a mistake, my friend. God doesn't do things but what's best for His children. And sometimes that's hard to figure out, isn't it? Some of you have taken that all off the altar now. You need to come and yield to God again. This time, not grant Him forgiveness, but acknowledge in your mind, I was wrong, God, to think of you like that. Some of you, your affections have been transferred to somebody or something else. By the way, it's never just one thing. It's always one after the other. As soon as you transfer affection to something else, once that affection wears off, you'll transfer it to something else. You need to give it back to God, friend. Yield to God again. That's for some of us today. And then for some today, it's called yield to God afresh. Some in this room this morning, as best as you know how, you are yielded to the Lord in your life. So how do you really know, Pastor Johnson? You've got to be kidding me. No. It's not hard to figure out. It means there's nothing in my life He can't have. There's nothing about me that it's not His. I have no agenda but God's. My life is His. That attitude. But wait a minute. For some of us, it's been a long time just since we've made sure that everything was yielded to God. A living sacrifice could be given every day and should be. Best as I know how this morning, I'm in the center of the will of God for my life. And as best as I know how, I believe I'm completely yielded to the Lord in my life. I believe so. That's not a brag, it's a statement of a fact. That's a reality. And you know why? Because the crack of early dawn this morning, once again, I told Him I loved Him. And I thanked Him for His goodness and His blessings in my life. And I said, today, Father, I yield to You again. I want to make sure You got everything You paid for. He didn't get much when He gets Mike Johnson, but he'll get all I give him. And today I yield it to Him again. And tomorrow I'll do it again. And every day, for the rest of my existence, I want to make sure I'm a living sacrifice. Not walking wounded. Not walking martyrs. Well, I'm going to have to go to church on a Sunday night now, I guess. And I guess that means I'm not going to get to do what I want to with my life now, I guess. And I remember years ago, I haven't heard preachers do it in a long time now, and I'm very encouraged to not hear this. Years ago, I used to hear preachers say, well, I was a successful businessman. Then I got called to ministry, and now I gave that up for God and went on. Like somehow or another, they surrendered. They gave up so much to serve God with their life. No excuse me. No apologies. The best as I know how, I'm yielded to God in my life. But I'm going to make sure. I'm just going to make sure that every day afresh and anew, He gets a living sacrifice that day too. And today, God, it's Yours. Look at me. You know how backsliding starts in the life of the Christian? You don't start out sinning. No. You start out withholding on God. And today I'm just not going to give Him my life in this area. And then it begins. It was the early 1800s in Scotland. A man who was preaching the gospel without license from the church was arrested several times. After several arrests, they put him in jail, and they began to beat him for it and tell him if he would just take a license from the church, he could preach. But he said, my license is the word of God, and I'm doing what the Bible tells me to do. I'll accept no license from the state. He had one joy in life, and that was to every evening to come home. His wife had long since passed away. He had one joy in life, his 10-year-old son. And he'd come home, and he'd take that little boy, and they'd take walks in the evening together, and it was his pleasure and his joy in life. He went back to the streets and preached again. They arrested him, beat him, told him he had to take a license. They said, if you don't, something serious is going to happen to you. He said, you let me out of jail today, I'll preach tomorrow. But by God's license, not man's. He was arrested again shortly thereafter. They took him to an examination room and set him down in front of a rough-cut wooden table. Chair on this side, chair on that side. They set him down. And a man walked in the room with what looked like we would call duffel bag, type canvas sort of bag in his hands. The man set it down on that table next to where he sat, and he looked over at that preacher and he says, will you take a license or will you suffer the consequences? He said, you led me out of jail today. I'm preaching the streets tomorrow. The man opened that duffel bag, as it were, and reached in and pulled out two severed hands and put them in front of that Scottish preacher. And the man looked down and he recognized those hands. The man said, how about now, preacher? How about now? He said, you let me out of jail today, I'll preach on the streets tomorrow. He reached in the duffel bag and he pulled out the severed head of his son and set it in front of him. He picked up that little head, brushed the matted hair back, kissed those little cold cheeks for the last time, and looked up to heaven and said, it is good to do thy will, sweet Jesus. It is good to do thy will. And looked at his accuser and said, you let me out of today, I'll preach on the streets tomorrow. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of his mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Yield to God, friend. You hear me? Yield to God this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Stand very still and listen very carefully just a moment. Every head bowed and every eye closed today. Question. Yielding to God to live for him will not give you salvation. It will not give you salvation. But there is a yieldedness for salvation, and that's simply this. You realize that you need Christ, you trust Him, and you yield to Christ alone as your Savior. Is that your decision this morning? Is that what you need to do?